Yodel a hootie, yodel little little hootie, yodel little 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 hootie, yodel a hootie. I don't know, I just wanted to yodel. Welcome to Eastern Sea Yodel. No, now, Jesse Steele. It is March 31st, and that's a Thursday. A couple things. We're going to have a pretty great interview at the end of the episode with Tyler Starbard, who represents the Eastern Sierra Disc Golf Club, and they are trying to put in a permanent disc golf course in Big Pine, and that would be pretty cool. That seems like a pretty good event. You know, our sponsor, Copper Top, also sponsors that event, and they're pretty big behind it, and I can get behind that. I think that's pretty great. Gets people out walking around, gets people doing stuff. You know, the great choir, as we call it, has probably put on a lot of weight on some people. I can say that's true of me. So it'd be nice to get out there and walk around, have some fun, be in the sun, talk to some people, do something positive. And you know what? If you enter the tournaments, which are once a month on Saturdays, given by Copper Top Barbecue, you can win stuff. Like, seriously, the dude last time won $300 gift certificate. He actually donated it right back to the club because they wanted to help get the thing going and build the disc golf course. But they're offering things like VR headsets and stuff. Matt's given up barbecue food for lunch for everybody that pays the entry fee. I think it's free drinks, you know, and they get out there every single Saturday, 11 o'clock to practice. And then one Saturday a month is a tournament. They're going to continue doing this. This is a really cool thing. You know, Copper Top, great spot, man. And all these people that are working a part of this, that's great. And Tyler gave us a great interview. We got to talk about disc golf and what it's all about and what's going on. So stick around for the end of the interview or the end of this podcast where you can hear that interview. So first up here, I had a lot happening today, but I'm just going to read you what we got and we're going to go from there. This is a letter from the VFW Post 8988 to District 1 candidates. So if you'll recall, we live streamed the sheriff's event, the candidate town hall from the VFW, and a couple of issues there. The internet wasn't great, the audio wasn't great, but I think I have fixes for that for the future. So I think from here on out, we're going to be gold as far as live streaming these things. But that's exactly what this is. Exact same situation, but this one will be for the first district candidates, which is it all of Bishop or part of Bishop? I think it's part of Bishop. But anyway, it's District 1. So here's the letter sent out by the VFW. We have heard back from all District 1 candidates. Based on your feedback, Monday, April 11th from 6 to 8 p.m. is the best day for all parties. The structure will be the same as the Sheriff Candidate Town Hall. If you weren't present at the Town Hall, you can check it out in its entirety on our Facebook page. We plan on streaming your Town Hall as well. Oh, so they're going to stream it too. They must have got my idea and said, hey, we can do that. Good job, guys. Yeah, everybody should be using streaming. It's such an easy way to get that out there. You'll get 5 minutes for your opening statement, which should include, who are you and why are you running for District 1 Supervisor? After the opening statements, we will go into questions developed from our veterans. You will have 2 minutes to answer each question. We will have a 30-second and 10-second warning for you when speaking. When the alarm sounds, we ask that you finish your thought and we can move on to the next question. No questions will be provided to candidates prior to the evening. After questions from our veterans in the first hour, we will take a short break and take questions from the public, which will be given to the MC to read. The order of seating and questions will be based on you drawing numbers prior to the beginning. We ask that you arrive at least 20 minutes prior to draw numbers and get settled so we can begin on time. Number one, we will start with the opening statement. Then number two, we'll start with the first question. Number three, we'll take the second question and so on. For the closing statement, the order will go 3, 2, 1, no matter where we are in the order at the time. You are welcome to bring campaign materials to set at a table in the back. We ask you to leave your lawn signs in the vehicle as they take up a lot of space. We had about 100 comfortably in the audience at the Sheriff Town Hall, so you are welcome to invite whomever you please. You are also welcome to advertise this however you like. We will begin posting it on our Facebook as well as emailing all our local media outlets. Please feel free to email with any questions, comments, or concerns. Thank you for responding and accepting our invitation. We look forward to getting to know all of you better, and thank you for being so willing to serve in this position. Sincerely, the VFW Post 8988 Board. These guys are doing a great job. Thank you, VFW, from us at Eastern Sierra now for sponsoring these. It's such a good way to get people informed on what's happening. I think there's been such a disconnect with politics in the last bunch of years because it's all turned into a circus from the top to the bottom. It's all razzle dazzle, and it's all who said this, and if I don't agree with that person because you voted for them and I voted for this person, well then I hate you and I'm going to run over your cat. You know what I mean? It's become this ridiculous thing when what it should be is exactly this: a town coming together and deciding who has the right opinion of how I think things should move forward. There's no arguing. There's no bickering. Nobody walks up and Will Smith somebody and slaps them. This has just been a very cool event. The sheriff's event was great, you know, and now that I've got our streaming issues down, I will be very stoked to stream that and get that out for you. If any of you have any questions for that event, please send them to info@easternsierranow.com, and I will make sure I get those asked if you can't make the event yourself. During the streaming, you should be able to ask questions there as well. Those will populate, I believe, on YouTube, and then from there we can ask later. So, because I am still doing our Just a Minute with Amy Smith episodes, which our next one, I believe, will have First District Supervisor candidate Jeff Gabriel. So if you have any questions for Jeff, you can send those to me. Our first episode will be the pre-done questions, which are exactly the same as what those of you that watched Sheriff Eric Pritchard's Just a Minute episode. They're the same questions, just based on supervisor, not sheriff. But we will do a follow-up interview where we will ask Jeff Gabriel everything you would like to know about his thoughts on First District Supervisor. And if you're also running for that or anything else, please let me know. I would love to get you on the show and get you some time out there, not only with our streaming from this event, but for our Just a Minute with Amy Smith show. You know, I'd like to throw out a quick little ad for Perez Quality Tires. You know, when you need tires, that's one of those things you don't think about very much. A couple years later, you're like, oh, I need to get tires. Oh man, where do I go? Okay, well, I went to that guy one time, so I guess I'll go there. Well, does that make them the best? Not at all. It means you went there one time. You know, sometimes you got family friends that run a spot. Sometimes you just go to the same guys always. Well, that's what I tend to do. Go to the same guys always. And it's because they're the best. Perez Quality Tire are fantastic. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Low prices, fast service, and they aren't messing around when they say that. I've never seen faster. Like if you were to get your tires changed on your lunch break, you can do that and still get food. Before, it used to be, okay, I've got to figure out how to get a car and get back to work because I'm going to have to come pick this up in a couple of hours. Not the case. You could show up to there, and then luck of the draw, if they've got 10 cars ahead of you, it's not going to happen. But if you pull up and you say, hey, I need my tires changed out for lunch, you absolutely can and still go get lunch and then go to work. I mean, they are very fast. Se habla español. 760-872-3322. And that's at 1280 C North Main Street in Bishop. There's also the shop in Big Pine, which is right on Main Street there. You won't miss it. That's where you need to go for your tires. All tire things, rotations, plugs, you got holes, you know, something like that. You just need new tires, whatsoever. You're looking to upgrade your rims. I believe they do auto painting and stuff in the Big Pine station. So that's a whole other thing. I'm going to have to ask them about that. But yeah, Perez Quality Tire. That's where you want to go. Trust me. California Highway Patrol could join local law enforcement agencies to investigate and prevent catalytic converter theft thanks to proposed assembly bill. AB 1653 was introduced by Assemblyman, you guessed it, Jim Patterson, and was approved in the Assembly Appropriations Committee Wednesday. I gotta say, I'm impressed with this Jim Patterson guy. He's putting in bills almost daily that are things that are actually important and not going with just the trend of, oh, we gotta send money to this person, or we've gotta make sure this, you know, it's always... It's just like in Hollywood and in pop culture, it's always about what the current trend is. So if the trend is, oh, we've got to send money to the alligator farm in Tuscaloosa because they're, you know, then everybody in the world, oh, poor Tuscaloosa alligators. And that's what everybody does. And the politicians follow the same thing. I got to give this guy a hand, man. He just keeps going with stuff that needs to be done. I actually personally think the guy's pretty cool. I get his emails every day. That's why you guys get so much from me. But, you know, it's... Who thinks of that? Hey, we're going to put in a bill to tell people to knock off stealing our catalytic converters. Like, I'm thinking, did his get stolen or something? It's awful. I had mine taken. It's awful. It's such a pain in the ass. So I really like this guy. He's doing good stuff, man. Everything, you know, like, for instance, and I'm 100% pro solar. We know that. HighPointSolar.com. Check them out today. But for instance, with all the fires that happened over in the Fresno area, he put in a bill that said, because all new structures have to have solar built on them. That's part of the rule in California. So he put in a bill saying, hey, these people just lost everything they have. They can't afford an additional $20,000 on their house. So we're going to put in a bill that says, hey, if your house was destroyed, you can put it back the way it was without having to do that. And as much as I want to see solar happen on houses, I'm 200% solar. That's a good idea. Those people just lost everything. They shouldn't have to completely upgrade. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of stuff you don't think about. So this guy, his team and him, they do a really good job. I'm actually quite impressed with Assemblyman Jim Patterson. Here, and I'll finish reading this. The bill helped local law enforcement agencies struggle to keep up with the dramatic rise in catalytic converter theft by allowing counties in the hardest hit areas to seek additional support from the CHP. This would include help with theft ring investigations, logistical support, personal and equipment. Personnel. Sorry, I spelled that wrong. The theft of catalytic converters has risen dramatically throughout the state in Los Angeles County. It is estimated that catalytic converter thefts were up by 400% in 2020. In Fresno County, reports of stolen catalytic converters went up over 900% from 20 to 21. Catalytic converter theft is hurting real people when they can least afford it, said Assemblyman Jim Patterson. These crooks will saw off your catalytic converter in broad daylight in your own driveway and sell it for $300, but it costs you $2,000 to replace it. It's time for the state to add additional resources to help put a stop to this. AB 1653 moves to the assembly floor for a vote. We have reported on this in the past, so this was just a little bit of an update that they were coming out with. But I agree completely, man, and it makes perfect sense. As soon as we got into quarantine, people are losing their jobs. They don't know if they're getting kicked out of their house. They don't think they can pay their bills. So a lot of people turn to crime. And it's not a victimless crime, but you don't have to hurt somebody. You don't have to intimidate somebody. You know, a lot of these guys, they just sneak underneath a lifted truck and cut off the converter and run. So it's easy to understand why that was up so much, because it's not like robbing a store. It's still a complete jerk move. And whoever did mine, if I ever find you, I have a certain set of skills and I will end you. But in the meantime, this is great. Good job. So, Northern Inyo Hospital District and Mammoth Hospital collaborate on childbirth services. You know, this is, I'm just going to point out real quick, you know, NIHD is an advertiser of mine. I love them. All the admin, all the people there are just such wonderful. You know, I have such a good time working for them and doing stuff with them and supporting them on that. And that's great. And one thing I really like about this, aside from the fact that this is necessary for Mammoth, is that they just got out of a lawsuit with Mammoth just recently, and already hands have shook, friends are made, and partnerships are being put together. And that's so good to see. In a world where everybody wants to turn away from each other, this is amazing to see our two closest people, Mammoth and Bishop, shaking hands and saying, you know what, we can help each other out and help get through these. If you guys have an issue or a need, we can be there for you, and vice versa. That is really great, and my hat is off to NIHD and Mammoth Hospital for this, and I applaud you. Northern Inyo Healthcare District and Southern Mono Healthcare District recently launched a collaborative effort to address the state of childbirth services in Mammoth Hospital. Since January, the extreme nationwide nursing shortage has impacted Mammoth Hospital's ability to adequately staff its labor and delivery unit. Like so many other critical access hospitals serving rural areas, Mammoth Hospital felt the effects of a shrinking nursing pool, lack of housing, and the unprecedentedly high cost of staffing the unit with traveling nurses. As a result, the OBGYN providers and management of Mammoth Hospital began working with expectant mothers to direct them to Northern Inyo Hospital District for the birth of their babies. For the past 3 months, the labor and delivery team at NIHD, along with obstetricians, Drs. Janine Arndahl, Martha Kim, and Janine Flume, did I say that right? I hope so. And certified nurse midwife Jennifer Norris have warmly welcomed these expectant mothers to ensure continuity, that's how you say that word, Jesse, of care. They have worked closely with Mammoth Hospital's obstetricians. I can yodel at the beginning of anything, but I can't say continuity. Doctors Lucien Bouvier and Lawrence Vaquinos, and women's health nurse practitioner Maureen Vaquinos. While Mammoth Hospital leaders are clear that there has been no decision to end L&D services in Mammoth Hospital, the staffing issues will not be quickly remedied. NIHD CEO Kelly Davis and Mammoth Hospital CEO Tom Parker recently brought the two administrative and medical teams together to discuss options. Both CEOs acknowledge that meetings held March 14th and 28th brought together two entities that had not come together in a collaborative effort in quite some time. This is all about the patients, and that's how it should be, Davis said. Our focus remains on continuity of care, establishing multidisciplinary processes to ensure the mothers to be are comfortable at NIHD, and ensuring that each patient experiences a successful handoff between the two medical teams. To that point, Davis added that both facilities are working with Cerner, who supplies both healthcare districts with their electronic health record and the respective information technology services teams to give the providers shared access to the medical records of the expectant mothers. Parker stated that NIHD and Mammoth Hospital would meet every couple of weeks to make sure this effort continues to move forward. There are no easy answers, but I am encouraged by the engagement of our hospitals, providers, and leadership teams. We want to build this collaboration on the strong working relationship established by our chief nursing officers. The communication channel that our CNO, Caitlin Crunk, developed with NIHD's CNO, Allison Partridge, throughout the pandemic is foundational to the success of this collaboration. In the coming weeks, we will be evaluating various options for a long-term solution, including a resumption of L&D services at Mammoth Hospital. Also, coming to the communal table are Mammoth Hospital's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Craig Burrows, NIHD's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Joy Ingblade, Drs. Arndahl and Kim from NIHD, and Drs. Vaquinos and Bouvier, and Nurse Practitioner Vaquinos from Mammoth Hospital. Lawrence Vaquinos, MD, said, "It is very disappointing and sad that we find ourselves in a situation where we cannot provide much-needed services for our community. We are extremely grateful to Drs. Kim, Arndahl, and Flume for their willingness without hesitation to step up for our patients. I am dedicated to doing whatever is necessary to provide safe and seamless care for our patients. While the collaboration with my colleagues at NIHD has been great, I am hopeful that we can find a way to provide L&D services again in Mammoth Hospital, not only for our patients in Mammoth, but for those coming from further north." Both healthcare districts are deeply committed to providing the very best care to the expectant mothers and newborns. On average, Northern Inyo Healthcare District delivers 180 babies each year in its four private birthing suites, and Mammoth Hospital delivers 60 babies a year in its spacious three-bed delivery unit. Both facilities promote breastfeeding as the optimal feeding method for newborns and offer pre- and postnatal educational classes for mothers. Mammoth Hospital has the third lowest cesarean rate of all hospitals in California and has been recognized with multiple awards in excellence. NIHD is the only designated baby-friendly hospital in the Eastern Sierra. This designation is awarded to hospitals that uphold the highest standards of care for mothers and their newborns. Well done to both organizations. And it is nice to see just putting the patients first. It's not about money. It's not about anything in the past. It's not about who's got the better hospital. It's about how can we get this done for the patients. And I congratulate both of you. Thank you for that. That's very cool. Hey, yesterday, just a quick little update here, 7:05, there was a 4.3 earthquake in Round Valley. A lot of people heard it. If you guys heard it, comment on the story on the website here, or on Facebook or Instagram. We posted it there as well. I did hear it was felt as far away as Tom's Place and Sunny Slopes from Round Valley. So I want to know how far out it went. So did you feel it? Where do you live? So April 27th, they are going to start inspecting boats at Crowley for the invasive quagga mussels. I believe it's quagga. Quagga. Anyway, those are those little mussels that came from New Zealand that stick to the boats, and they jump in and they choke the trout that eat them, and then it kills them off, and it's not good. So, to keep our waterways safe from the spread of invasive quagga mussels, all boats entering Crowley Lake will be inspected. Boats showing signs of contamination or found to contain any water or debris that could harbor mussels will not be allowed to launch. Boats that have tags from last season do not need to be reinspected as long as the original tag has not been broken or tampered with. Inspections begin April 27th. After Saturday, April 30th, all boat inspections will occur during the normal business hours at Crowley Lake. LADWP will take additional measures to protect boat owners and employees as needed by following any COVID-19 restrictions. And there is an inspection schedule, and you can see that at the link provided at easternsierranow.com. It is ladwpnews.com/crowley-lake-boat-inspection-2022-information. So just go to Eastern Sierra Now and click on the link. That's going to be easier for you. That's where the information I got all came from. And it looks like you can go on the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th to the Vaughn site in Bishop from 6:45 a.m. to 7 p.m. on all three of those days, and you can get inspected there. You can also go to Crowley Lake on those days from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's on the 27th, on the 28th at 6:45 to 7, and on the 29th at 6:45 until dark. Also on 4:30, you can only get inspected at Crowley, and that's on the opener there, 4 to 8, 4 a.m., 8 p.m. You can also get more information at CrowleyLakeFishCamp.com or call 760-972-1104. So there is a supervisor's, annual supervisor's agenda and link going to be attached at Eastern Sierra Now. And I say gonna because I haven't hit post yet, but it's there, April 5th. And you can download the agenda and the Zoom link there to check that out and see what's going on with our county. Okay, so it looks like that's going to be it. We are going to cut to Tyler Starbard talking about disc golf in Big Pine.
Yeah, we're trying to get a course installed here permanently at Mendenhall Park. The space is accessible to a lot of people in town, and we'd really like to provide more recreation available for the youth and the families around. We've seen success with the course in Mill Pond, and we'd really like to have one here in Big Pine. Currently, we're setting up pop-up style courses on Saturdays with the big support from Copper Top Barbecue. Every last Saturday of the month, we have a tournament, big prizes. We've been getting about 20, 30 people out here every Saturday to show their support and do what they can to get this course moved forward.
So other than just the love of the sport of frisbee golf, is the idea like to get people moving and exercising? I mean, quarantine's been such a add 70 pounds to your body type of thing. This is a good chance for people to get out and move.
Yeah, absolutely. Disc golf has blown up since quarantine started because it's a sport that people can get out and do together but keep their distance. And it's healthy. You know, you get to take a walk and throw some things, but it's also pretty simple where anybody can do it. You only need one disc really to get yourself started. So that's about $10 and you can start playing the game if you have a course accessible. And so, the idea is to be able to provide another recreational opportunity for people and give a little bit of a reason to take a walk.
It sounds to me like it's pretty self-explanatory, but do you want to explain what frisbee golf is?
Yeah, frisbee golf, and basically just like golf, you want to get a low score. So there's a designated starting place for each hole. Typically we have 18 or 9 hole courses. You throw from the starting place and you end up at a basket like this. Where you got to make it inside the hoop to complete the hole, and you just count up your strokes to get through the whole course.
Okay, and then I know Matt from Copper Top was sponsoring this, and so they're putting out some pretty sweet prizes from what I understand, right?
Yeah, they're putting out really great prizes. $300 in a gift card of your choice or an Oculus VR set. The winner gets their choice. And also the winner is going to get free entry to the tournaments for the remainder of the year and free barbecue for every tournament event as well. So they're really doing a big part to get people out here. And they also made frisbees, custom frisbees, so that anybody who doesn't have one can show up and play. And that's been huge. We get a lot of use out of those. There's been some people who have never played before, and they get to try it out right here in Big Pine.
Has there been any other sponsors or anything with the frisbee?
personally, I've gotten sponsored by this new company called Wild Discs. They're just getting started. They're making really great products that are supporting endangered species and giving 5% of all their proceeds to the World Wildlife Fund. They're giving me plastic to throw, giving me the support. To be a part of a team is really big for me, so that I have this whole network of other disc golfers who are doing similar things all over the world. The company's based in New York, so I feel pretty cool to be represented on their team here in California. I think I'm one of just a couple people on the team in California.
Oh, that's cool. Congratulations. So the idea then would be to have permanently mounted disc golf holes, targets? What's this?
We call them baskets.
Okay.
Yeah, or chain catchers. They have a lot of names, but typically they call them baskets. The idea would be to have them permanently mounted.
With a sponsor? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, and then the way that we could fund the course is to have a sponsor for every hole. At the tee pad where each hole begins, there would be a plaque with a number, hole 1 through 18, and then every plaque would include a little advertisement and recognition of who sponsored that hole.
That sounds really great. Well, how would they contact you or Matt or whomever to help throw in their hat into this ring, or however you'd say that? Name into the hat?
Yeah.
Or frisbee into the basket?
Matt is pretty easily contacted through his email, coppertopbarbecue. He's also usually at the shop. I can be contacted on Facebook, Tyler Starbard, or anything in the Eastern Sierra Disc Golf Club Facebook page is a good way to contact me, and that way everybody can see how you'd like to support or ask.
Perfect. And in the meantime, if you want to participate, it's Saturdays from 11?
Yeah, Saturdays from 11. Starting at 11, it's usually 11 to 3, except for the last Saturday of the month is the big tournament day with the prizes. That will be 2 full rounds of 18 holes. So I think that's about 11 till 5 it was. We just had the first one this last week. And big shout out to the winner, Stephen Filer. He won $300, and right away he donated straight back into the course.
So oh,
he
cool.
wanted to be the first one to donate and sponsor a hole.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tyler, thank you, and good luck with this project.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jesse, and you sincere now. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Seems like a great thing. I don't see why that wouldn't happen. That's a good idea. It's not like they have to completely level the park or anything. You just got to put these little baskets in different places, and then people can get out there. It's a great event for everybody. Kids can do it. Adults can do it. I mean, even like, you know, older folks that have a tougher time walking around, this is a great way to get out there and just move around a little bit. You can bring a little golf cart, you know what I mean? This is a pretty cool event. I really like this. I think these guys are doing a great job. So anyway, thank you for that. And I would just like to say thank you to our, you guessed it, patrons: Allison, Sam, Fran, Tiffany, Tomatohead, D, Ida, Deborah, Valerie, and Margaret. Thank you so much for your help with everything. If you guys would like to become a patron and help support local news on Eastern Sierra Now, go to patreon.com/EasternSierraNow, or just go to EasternSierraNow.com, where you will find a big red button that says become a patron. That would be so helpful. Thank you. And while you're there, subscribe to the email. That's the easiest way to get it. You know, we're looking for that 1,000 mark. We're at 878 right now, so we're really closing in. So just head over there, put in your email, hit subscribe. You're going to get emails every time we update with a different news source. You know, and I'm hearing so much around town about how people are using Eastern Sierra Now, and I really want to thank you all. So those of you that listen to this, thank you so much, not only for your efforts, but for spreading the word. I mean, I've been hearing so many. I heard some people at the new county buildings and Bishop there said, oh yeah, we all use Eastern Sierra Now, you guys post everything, you're the best, so that's just the first place we all go. I'm like, oh, that's cool, that really means a lot to me, so thank you. I'm gonna keep working my butt off to get you guys all the information you need for both Inyo and Mono counties. So but it does require money, so you know, anybody wants to jump on a Patreon, I would really appreciate that. If you're a business and you're interested in advertising, our numbers are through the roof, and we've only been open what, 7 months at this point, and I'm already competing and beating most everybody else in numbers across the board. So, and we're growing, where this isn't slowing down. Every day there's 10 more. So I would really love to advertise your business. So reach out to me, info@EasternSierraNow, and I would gladly get in touch with you about that. We've had 3 new clients in the last couple of weeks, and I'll make sure those get up and you can see all about them in the coming days. So that's going to do it for Eastern Sierra Now today. Thank you very much. And this has been Jesse Steele on March 31st.